Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our hearts rejoice that we can gather in your presence as your children to worship you. We thank you that we can join our hearts with your children all over the world this day to express our love for you, our gratitude toward you. We know, Father, that you have been watching over our lives, guiding us, teaching us, providing for us, undertaking in so many different ways. Some we recognize, many aspects we do not even realize how you've been caring for us. And Father, we know that even beyond our daily situations and the various needs that we have, you are guiding us and you want us to be able to move well in the direction of your high calling and able to fulfill well the part you desire for each one of us and also together as your people in our working of your purposes. And we pray that you will continue to have the freedom to speak to us, to help us to know how to walk with you, that your will may indeed be done in our lives. All this we ask and pray and commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 146th message. The subtopic for today, the posture of optimism, joy, and confidence. The posture of optimism, joy, and confidence. Some preliminary remarks. In the last two messages, we considered how the posture of God and truth enables us to fare well and overcome the attacks of the evil one. The need to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might and putting on the full armor of God. The importance of being properly grounded in the truth, that is sound knowledge and truth in an innermost being. In the second half of the last message, I illustrated how the posture enables us to overcome a major area of attack, fear, worry, and anxiety. I now want to mention briefly what ought to be our mindset and view of life in relation to what we have been considering. It's helpful for us to view the issues in a wider perspective. And that is, although learning how to overcome the attacks on the evil one in the area of fear, worry, and anxiety is very important and very helpful, but the objective of the message goes far beyond overcoming this major area of attack. Our consideration of how to counter and overcome this area of attack is meant to help us understand how the posture can enable us to overcome all the attacks of the evil one. Whatever may be the attacks of the evil one, it is feasible for us to overcome. And the posture can help us and enable us to overcome. But not only that, beyond appreciating how the posture enables us to overcome in spiritual warfare, it is important to see clearly that at the heart of the posture is man's appropriate response to the perfect Creator God, and how we can enter fully into God's intentions for us in Christ, as well as faithfully fulfilling our part in our working of God's purposes. That is a central thrust of the implications and the meaning of the posture. And this ought to be our primary concentration on God and truth and the fulfillment of God's purposes, not on the evil one and spiritual warfare. However, as we seek to fulfill God's purposes in fellowship with Him, we need to understand the reality of spiritual warfare and that we are in the midst of spiritual warfare even as we seek to fulfill God's purposes. And it is important for us to learn how to overcome in spiritual warfare if we want to fulfill our part well in the fulfillment of God's purposes. And this is important at a personal level and also together in our working of church life. So it is with this frame of mind I will continue to consider with you the meaning and implications of the posture of God and truth in relation to relevant issues in the outworking of God's purposes. As we reflect on the Christian faith and our approach to life, it's helpful for us to approach it not primarily with concentration on overcoming the negative aspects of life, like fear, worry, and anxiety, encountering the attacks of the evil one, although this is needful. But our primary consciousness and concentration ought to be on the Lord, what He has revealed in the Scriptures, especially with regards to the positive aspects of the life of spiritual abundance that God intends for us. And this is the biblical emphasis, thrust, and approach that God wants us to recognize and to live out. And so accordingly for today, I wish to strengthen our conviction that it is feasible for any believer at the personal level to live each day with proper basis for optimism, joy, and true confidence. I emphasize feasible for any believer and every believer, but it doesn't mean all will live like this. And I'm concentrating at the personal level in your own life. And you can live each day, every day in this way with a proper basis. And that's important. We must have the proper basis. And with the proper basis, we can live each day with optimism, joy, and true confidence. Whoever we are, wherever we may be, and whatever we may encounter and go through. And this is something that my understanding and impression, many Christians in the world may deem this as not so feasible, because there's so many situations, contexts, where they may view it as not feasible to live in this way. So I want to concentrate today on this issue of the posture of optimism, joy, and confidence. However, if we look at the world scenario and what is happening all around us, we may wonder, how can there be optimism, joy, and confidence? We see in this fallen world all around us, and especially today, where what is happening in different parts of the world is readily available for us to understand and to know what is going on, through television, through the new media, and so on. And we know there are countless conflicts, small scale, big scale, terrible wars, destructive earthquakes, devastating tsunamis, floods, famines, diseases, epidemics. And millions are terribly afflicted by abject poverty and without even the basic necessities of life. And every day, countless numbers are in great pain and suffering. This is going ongoing all the time, every day. And then there are concerns for the global environment, global warming, widespread pollution, and significant problems with tainted food supply. And on top of all this, the pain, suffering, and distresses are significantly aggravated by the weaknesses and failures of fallen men. There's so much of manifestations of selfishness, pride, self-centeredness, and compounded by insatiable greed. That means greed that cannot be satisfied. Lust, envy, jealousy, bitter rivalry, hatred, cruelty. Men preoccupied with self-exaltation, desire for power, for recognition. And many of these not just amongst non-believers, even amongst believers. And even those who appear generally positive can also manifest very ugly traits when under pressure. And the weak, the poor, the young, and the aged have been subjected to much exploitation. It is not surprising that there are those who are pessimistic. even amongst Christians. But there are those who are optimistic, who may not have good grounds to be optimistic. And this also can include non-Christians as well as Christians. And sometimes you may think to be optimistic is a wonderful thing, but not necessarily. It is not meaningful to be optimistic without proper basis. And we will have difficulty withstanding the test of unfavorable circumstances. And we can crumble under pressure. It is difficult even for those who love God to live well in this fallen world. There are so many problems, trials, temptations. And the forces of darkness are so actively at work all the time in the hearts and minds of men, exploiting the weaknesses in men and manipulating his emotions, his thought line, appealing to his base appetites and his selfish desires and his self, and is trying to draw his self-life, expressions of self-life in so many different ways. Life on earth, even for one who loves God, can be very difficult, painful, and distressful. These are the realities of life in this fallen world. How then can we have a proper posture of optimism, joy, and confidence? Can we? The answer is yes. Every moment and in all situations, again, the answer is yes. How is that feasible? In a very short answer, it is the posture of God and truth, as explained and elaborated upon, and I'm continuing to consider further with you the meaning and implications of this posture. Not only feasible in the posture of God and truth, we must recognize that it is actually part of the posture. Optimism, true joy, and proper confidence is an integral part of the posture of God and truth. Not just hope to be able to have proper basis for optimism, hope to be able to be joyful, but it is an integral part of the posture of God and truth. When we understand the meaning of the posture of God and truth, and we align our hearts with it, that is, we adopt the posture, then we can face life and live each day and every day with optimism, joy, and confidence in the Lord and what God has revealed in the Scriptures. Our basis for optimism, joy, and confidence is not and cannot be the fallen world and what the world can offer us, or the situations and contexts we happen to be in, or our material resources. These are the things that the people in the world place their confidence in. Or even our talents and capabilities, or capable people on whom we can depend. If our basis for optimism, joy, and confidence is in any of these things, or on anything other than God and in the truth, then it will be misplaced. The proper basis for our optimism, joy, and confidence is the perfect, sovereign, wise, and good God, and what He has assured us in the Scriptures, and this will remain unchanging truths. For all those whose foundational basis and primary motivation in life is God and truth, and that is what we must ensure. Our foundational basis and primary motivation in life must be God and the truth that He has revealed. If this is our approach to life, then we have the proper basis for optimism, joy, and confidence. Some of the passages we referred to in the last message can help us not only overcome fear, worry, and anxiety, but also assure us we can live each day with optimism, joy, and confidence. And beyond that, there are so many other passages and verses in the Scriptures. We can look forward to each new day as we open our eyes in the morning. And this is something so wonderful. And it's true, we can. If you align your hearts with the posture of God in truth, every morning when you open your eyes, you can thank God for a new day and look forward to the new day that our lives will bear good fruit as we abide in Christ and He in us. And that's part of the posture. Bear good fruit as we abide in Christ and He in us. What does that mean? Without going into details, there are two major aspects. The bearing good fruit first in our own lives, the fruit of the Spirit, the nurturing of the inner man. As we continue to abide in Christ and He in us, we will be growing. Positive development of the qualities within us every day. And the other aspect of bearing good fruit is the impact on the lives of others. Participation, contribution to God's work. Bearing fruit in every good work. This is what the Lord Jesus assures us in John chapter 15, verse 5. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. If we satisfy this part, we are truly abiding in the Lord and He abiding in us, we will bear good fruit. It's not just that we hope to or maybe, and praying very hard that God will undertake that we will bear good fruit. Yes, we need to be prayerful, but if we truly abide in Christ and He in us, we will bear good fruit. We can also be assured that the unchanging God is sovereignly watching over and undertaking for us, so that whatever we may encounter and go through will have meaning and purpose and beneficial for our learning and growth. Every day, as we open our eyes, as we live each day, we can have this assurance. God is sovereignly undertaking, watching over us according to His perfect wisdom. Nothing can happen to us without God's permission. And God has assured us that He will cause all things to work together for our good, especially in the direction of our positive development, be conformed to the image of Christ, as we walk with Him in love and truth. This is a verse that we have often referred to. Paul says, we know, not we hope, that it will be so. Maybe it is so. Paul says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This is a very clear declaration. We know. This area of truth is well illustrated by the biblical example of what Joseph went through. It's a very good illustration of this area of truth. In earlier messages, I have covered this in some detail with you. And one chapter in the book Man of Faith also covers this area of truth in the life of Joseph. But I'll just briefly mention, summarize the aspect that is relevant for us, there's an assurance for us. The principles, the truths involved, illustrated in the life of Joseph. And the life of Joseph, when we went through, illustrates how God watches over a person, how God watched over him, undertook for him, and also what Joseph could learn from the situations he went through. All situations, including situations, may seem very terrible. What more terrible than being betrayed by his own brothers, and then sold as a slave into Egypt? And then as he sought to continue to be faithful to God, he was falsely accused by his master's wife because he wanted to remain true to God. The master's wife falsely accused him, and then he was thrown into prison and there left, seemingly living a life leading to nowhere with no purpose and meaning. But God was sovereignly watching over Joseph all this while, in every aspect, every stage, every phase of his life that he went through. There was meaning and purpose. And every step was bringing him closer to being exalted as ruler over Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, and fulfilling a very important part in our working of God's purposes to provide for so many people who otherwise would have faced starvation. And also for his own family, and then for Jacob Israel, and his children going down into Egypt. And all these were part of the flow and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And so if we look at the whole big picture of what Joseph went through, including many situations he went through that seem to be leading nowhere and seem so terrible. Look at the whole big picture, we can appreciate how all that Joseph went through fitted beautifully into the whole big picture of how God wanted him to learn, to go through, and then to be able to fulfill his part in the working of God's purposes. And that is also God's intention for each one of us. God has a purpose, his will, his perfect will for each one of us, and how he wants us to fulfill that part. And the other is together in body life. And if we align our hearts with God and the truth that he has revealed, we can rest assured that God will bring it to pass. And what is the meaning of God bringing to pass his will, his purposes? It cannot be anything other than glorious. Why should we not be optimistic? It is feasible for us to overcome all the wiles and attacks of the evil one. As we learn to be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God as we have seen, we can overwhelmingly conquer through the Lord who loves us. We have seen this in Romans 8:37. So in the midst of spiritual warfare, attacks of the one, it is all right. We can rest assured we can overcome as we continue to walk with God. And we can continually experience as well as nurture within us the positive realities in our hearts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We know that's the fruit of the Spirit. As we walk by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and all these are part of the posture of God and truth. Not only experience the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, but the Holy Spirit working within us and forming these qualities within us. Truth in the innermost being formed, and we becoming men and women of truth. So our posture and approach to life ought not be merely just trying to counter the negative aspects of life that confront us, whether it be fear, worry, anxiety, or not wanting to be discouraged, downcast, miserable, bitter, disillusioned, name it. Yes, we need to overcome all this, but it is not just merely trying to overcome these things. Our basic posture, the way we view life, approach life, is positive. Optimism, joy, and true confidence. That it is feasible for us to experience continually in all circumstances a spiritual life of abundance and vitality, continually growing well and producing good fruit. And yet at the same time, facing the realities of life, we know it will not be an easy life. That's what the scriptures tells us also. It will not be smooth sailing. There will be obstacles. There will be spiritual opposition. There will also be many difficulties, not just situations, but also people that can make it very difficult for us, the situations that we go through. But together with it all, we know that it will be a very fulfilling life that is rich in meaning, and we are assured that God's grace will be sufficient for us, even as God assured the Apostle Paul that his grace will be sufficient for Paul. How can it be that God's grace is not sufficient for us? How can there be any situation that can be too difficult for us if we are going through in fellowship with God? Because no situation can be too difficult for God to work in and through our lives and lead us in triumph in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul assured us, God always leads us in triumph in Christ. Not just sometimes, always we can experience the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 2:14. And together with that, the Apostle Paul wrote in this verse, and manifest to us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. We'll look at this verse also in an earlier message. So not just overcoming, but the positive manifestation of the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place, meaning our experience, knowledge of Christ is working in our hearts, and the positive qualities, life, reality being manifested to us. They have a positive impact on others. That's how it should be. So not just for the present, but also we can look forward to the future, even though we do not know what the future holds. In the sense that there are many aspects of our lives we do not know, but there are a number of things we can be very clear about, because God has revealed them to us in the scriptures. He has assured us. We can look forward to the future. An aspect is that with passing time, we will continually grow in maturity and increasing stability if we maintain this posture. Not just maybe, hopefully, it will take place. We will more and more attain to all the spiritual wealth that God intends for us in Christ. And there's so much infinite wealth in the Lord Jesus Christ. More and more, we will experience, enter into this. So we can look forward to all this. At the heart of all this is the joy of deep fellowship with God, increasingly deeper. And also, as we continue to walk with God in this way, and in the truth He has revealed in the scriptures, we will also grow stronger, wiser, and more resilient. Not just maybe, we will. Not so much stronger physically, that maybe, may not be, but what is truly important, stronger spiritually, stronger in the inner man, wiser. Many of us would like to be wiser. You can be assured, with passing time, you will grow wiser if your posture you maintain and continually seek to deepen the posture of God in truth. And you become more resilient. Resilient in the sense that when you face difficulties, pressures, and even sometimes the evil one managed to knock us down, we'll be able to get up again. More and more we are able to get up. And not just get up, more and more we are able to withstand increasing pressure. Together with that, there will be increasing effectiveness in our participation in God's purposes. Isn't it wonderful? And it is so. This is God's will for us. And these are unambiguous truths revealed in the scriptures. We can be assured of that there's proper basis for optimism, joy, and confidence every day and all situations, if indeed the foundational basis and the primary motivation of our lives is God and truth, the posture of God and truth. We have only referred to some relevant passages in the scriptures today. There are many more. This is the teaching, the thrust of the scriptures. And if we pause and consider, we will know that it must be true. It must be this way. We are the children of the great Almighty God who loves us and cares for us. And the perfectly wise God has revealed to us that He has marvelous plans and purposes for us. They were in His heart even before the foundation of the world. And surely we can have proper basis for optimism, joy, and confidence in the Lord that He will bring all these purposes to pass as we trust Him and depend on Him, as we abide in Christ and He in us. God wants to bring it about, and we align our hearts with Him. And He has the freedom to work in us and through us. Will not God bring it about? Surely He will. And there's nothing that can stop it. Whether it be situations, people, or the forces of darkness, God is infinitely greater. But we must be available to God, committed to Him, consecrated to Him. He must have the freedom to work in us and then through us. That is the critical issue. Are we willing? Are we submitted to the Lord? Clearly, it is the will of God for His children to experience His kind intentions toward us in Christ. And this will include true well-being, fruitfulness, joy and peace, the overcoming life, and effective participation in God's purposes. Surely we can experience all these when we walk with God in truth. Let's refer to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, a passage I often refer to from one of my favorite books in the Bible, Ephesians. So let's quickly turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I'll just highlight some aspects that ultimately our confidence, our optimism must be based on God's assurance and what God has revealed in the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." It has already taken place. If we are God's children, God has already blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in Christ. We need not keep on crying out to God for blessings. He has already blessed us. It's now for us to enter into, increasingly, to experience, to enter into. But He has already blessed us, but they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. To what degree do we know Him? One with Him? That He has the freedom to speak to us? That the Spirit of God can draw us in that direction to experience more and more all that God has already blessed us in the Lord Jesus Christ, available to us in Christ. Verse 4 tells us God has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him. So all this was in God's heart before the foundation of the world. He wants us to be holy and blameless. But it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. So He has predestined us to adoption as sons. This was the will of God. The way all this is to come about is through sonship, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this is according to the kind intention of His will, God's will. It is the will of God. We need not plead to Him in regards to all these aspects that Paul is now talking about. All this God already predetermined. It is His will before the foundation of the world. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. The Beloved here refers to Christ, and it is in the Beloved. It's all in Christ. Are we in Him? If we are believers, then we are in Christ. If we are born again, we are God's children, then we are in Christ. God has placed us in Christ. So in Him we have redemption, forgiveness of sins, but not only that, Paul also tells us about the riches of God's grace, verse 7, which He lavished on us. And also an assurance to us of God's wisdom, insight. And God has made known to us the mystery of His will. We've been considering this, the mystery, what has been God's heart before the foundation of the world, and especially regards to how He intends to fulfill His purposes, the various aspects, and is closely tied to the fullness of the meaning of the gospel, the good news of what God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he puts it, according to His kind intention which He purposed in Him. So all this is God's intention for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is a forward direction, not just for the current. As we live each day, there is a purpose, a meaning, a direction, forward looking. The summing up of all things in Christ, there's a purpose, a direction. It's not leading to nowhere, and not just present enjoyment of God. There's an unfolding of God's purposes. Are we in it? To what degree? Fully? Are we aligning our hearts to it? And then verse 11, also Paul talks to us about the inheritance, predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Again here, even right through to eternity, what awaits us, the inheritance. All this God has already decided. He wants to give all this to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. It's the perfect will of God according to His perfect wisdom. He has purposed all this. And today I want to refer you to a verse which I may not have referred to you in times past, that if you link it to Ephesians chapter 1, it's very meaningful. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. regards to God's purpose and God's good pleasure. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Verse 11, or rather verse 9, the last part says, I am God, there is no one like me. Then verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. God can see from eternity to eternity, the end from the beginning to the end, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, this is what God declares, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God's purposes will be established. He will accomplish all his good pleasure. They cannot be thwarted. There are various things that God wants to bring about through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring them about. The issue is who will align their hearts with God's purposes so that they can have a part in it, and to what degree. And Ephesians chapter 1, after verse 11, it goes on to, and right through the rest of the epistle, Paul goes on to explain how God seeks to bring all these things to pass that was already in his heart before the foundation of the world. And so if we align our hearts with God's will and purposes, and he has the freedom to work in our hearts and through our lives, then we can properly trust him to bring about all these things in our lives and through our lives. Not just maybe, it will come to pass if we align our hearts with God and with the truth that he has revealed. We have proper basis for optimism, joy, and proper confidence. But not only regard to our own lives, but also for the lives of others. So far, I'm concentrating, as I mentioned, on our personal level, our own walk with the Lord. But then we may have concern, this is our own life. Yes, this is critical. But what about others? Can we have confidence for the lives of others? Can we be optimistic? Joyful? Can we have proper confidence regards to the lives of others? Yes, we also can be optimistic, joyful. We also have proper confidence, not only for our own lives, but also for the lives of others. That is, for all and any who understands and who are also willing to align their hearts with the posture of God and truth. And there is no other way. God has called. He has made the provisions. He's inviting all to turn to him, submit to him, first receive forgiveness, reconcile back to God, and then to enter into all the intents for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not just meant for each one of us at a personal level. It's meant for all. So we can freely extend this to any and everyone that we come across who are willing to listen, who are willing to respond. So first, we understand, align our own hearts. Concentrate on nurturing the meaning, the reality, and the quality of the posture in our own lives. And then, together with that, we can look to the Lord for wisdom, how we can help others in the same direction. And then work out together with all those who align their hearts in that direction. And the two aspects can go together. In fact, it's meant to go together. First, our own walk with the Lord, and together with that, how we encourage others, as well as learn and grow together with all those who have responded to the Lord. And that is what the Lord desires as we work out together in church life, body life. That's what it is at the heart of it. But it's also important for us to bear in mind the effectiveness of the second part is related to the positive development in the first part. That is, how effectively we can be an encouragement to the lives of others, to help others in that direction, is directly related to how well we ourselves have been growing. But the beautiful thing is that the will of God, and as we work out together in church life, body life, as well as together with any other believer who loves God, it's not just trying to help others, but it's mutual. We seek to encourage others as well as to learn from others and be encouraged by them, support them as well as being supported by others. Pray for others as well as others praying for us. God's answer to our plight, you can say the plight of the whole world, all mankind, as well as even for believers trying to struggle and to overcome, God's answer to our plight and the way we can attain to God's intentions for us is summed up in one word: Christ. That is the biblical revelation. What God had already intended for us even before the foundation of the world, and God's preparation even from Old Testament times to the coming of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and how God's glorious purposes can be fulfilled at a personal level and also together. And Christ, the head of his body, the church, to whom we submit, is how together we will all and we can all rise up to God's high calling. And this is God's will for us. Paul explains all this very clearly to us in his epistles. And Paul himself is a good example to us by the way he lived out his life, his approach, his emphasis, his trust, his confidence in the Lord. I'll now refer to you a passage in Colossians. This passage is also one of my favorite passages in the scriptures, and from time to time I've referred to it. As I mentioned, as you look at it, you will know why. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to chapter 2, verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, from verse 24. Let us see how Paul responds, and then we look at the concentration of his ministry, and then he tells us God's answer, the solution, the way in which his purposes can be accomplished. First, in verse 24, he begins by saying, "Now I rejoice in my suffering." Yes, it will not be an easy path. There will be sufferings, there will be difficulties, but Paul says, "I rejoice in my sufferings." Not because the sufferings were enjoyable. He says, "I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake." There's purpose, there's meaning in what he goes through in the midst of the difficulties and pain. It's not suffering in vain. "And in my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body." So not just at a personal level, individual, but also it's the whole body of Christ, the church. So Paul has experienced the grace of God. God has been working in his life, and now Paul is contributing to the lives of others. So Paul says, this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God. So Paul talks about his stewardship from God, what God entrusted to him. And in a sense, it is true of all of us. God also has entrusted to us, and we must be good stewardship of what God has entrusted to us and our concern for to build up the lives of believers and how we can contribute our part to the universal church. He says, "Stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit." Whatever God has help Paul, is also meant to be a help to others. So Paul says a very major aspect of it has to do with the goal, the direction is, so that I might fully carry out the word of God. I've mentioned in times past, the preaching of is in italics, it's not in the original text. That is what the translators think is a reasonable addition to bring out the meaning, but actually it is the fully carrying out the word of God, all that God has revealed. At the heart of it is the mystery, verse 26. God's intentions for us, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. Mystery requires God's revelation, spiritual insight, that we can see it. But it's something that God had already determined before the foundation of the world. And it has to do with the outworking of his purposes. So God has manifested, now revealed the mystery to his saints. Verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So this is meant for all the saints, and all the saints refers to all believers, all who are God's children. And so Paul here tells us about the riches of the glory of this mystery. Glory is already a very powerful word. Riches, very rich in meaning. But Paul says the riches of the glory of this mystery. This is how Paul sought to communicate this very, very precious thing in his heart. How to communicate it? He says the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is what? Christ in you. The hope of glory at the very heart of it is Christ. Christ in you. And that is the hope of glory. How God's glorious purposes can be fulfilled, and also how God's purposes in the believer, the individual, how the believer can also become glorified. And so Paul went about his ministry in this direction. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. At the very heart of it, a very major aspect is maturity in Christ. That direction. And Paul says he keeps striving in that direction. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. So there's a direction in Paul's ministry to fully carry out the word of God, what God has revealed. At the heart of it, the mystery. At the heart of it, Christ. And how Christ can be glorified in the life of the believer, and how the believer can grow unto full maturity in Christ. And there's a continuing growth while we are on earth. And that is the direction where we can attain to all the richness and fullness of spiritual blessings that God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the deep fellowship and oneness with God. They are all related. Verse 29 is the last verse of chapter 1. But it is very helpful to see the continuation with what goes on in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. 4 is a continuation with this idea. Paul says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, meaning this is the burden of Paul for all believers. And why not? It must be so, because this is in the heart of God. This is what God is concerned about. This is what God has entrusted to Paul, and this is what God has entrusted to all of us, the stewardship of the mystery. First, the understanding, and then how to enter into God's intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The direction, again, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. So the direction is Paul's struggle, labor, in his prayers. He sought to do all he could in the power of the risen Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that mightily works within him in verse 29. The direction that the hearts of the believers may be encouraged and then knit together in love. The love amongst the brethren, very, very important part of this whole outworking. And in that context, the attaining to all the wealth that God intends for us. All the wealth that comes, how does it come about? All the wealth that comes from a full assurance of understanding. First, you need to understand, and then resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. Increasingly understand and enter into God's intentions for us. Appreciation, understanding of God's mystery, and then entering into that reality. At the heart of it is Christ himself. Our knowledge of Christ, our relationship with Christ. And Christ being formed in us and working out together in the power and working out together with the brethren in the power of the risen Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You can also add, in whom also are all the spiritual blessings that Paul has already told us in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. This is God's intention for us. First, experience for ourselves, and then together with that, and at the same time, seeking also to do our part, that others also may increasingly enter into all that God intends for us. And finally, as we have this forward-looking thing as to what lies ahead in the future, the optimism, the true confidence that we can have, God has revealed to us, shown to us in the book of Revelation, that there will be those who respond well. Some may say, yes, God has wonderful purposes, plans, intentions, but it's so difficult. Will there be people who will respond well to God? God has shown to us, revealed to us in the book of Revelation, that there will be those who respond well to the Lord and the truth of the gospel and what God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look forward to eternity and fellowship with God and with all those who love God. Not just some, a few. The scriptures reveal to us that there will be a great multitude from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. Yes, there will be varying degrees of meaning and quality, but there will be many who love the Lord, and also there will be those who love God deeply, not just a few. So, as we look at this whole big picture, our personal lives, as we seek to align our hearts with God's purposes, as we understand what God intends, we know we can have proper basis for optimism, for true confidence, for joyful living each day. As we are assured of what lies ahead of us in eternity, how then, in the meantime, we are still on earth. We are not yet in eternity. We are not yet in heaven. In the meantime, let us concentrate on God and truth, and how we can fare well and participate effectively in our working of God's purposes. And we can, if we understand the posture of God and truth, align our hearts with God, His will, His purposes, the truth that He has revealed, and ask the Lord to help us, enable us to fulfill the part He desires of us, each one of us at a personal level, and together as His people in the outworking of God's purposes, or rather in our working of church life. May the Lord grant us true insight into what all these things mean, and also enable us to respond well as we respond to the Lord in that direction. We can be assured that there is proper basis for true confidence, joy, meaning, all the blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Increasingly, we will experience increasing measure, continually growing in moral and spiritual stature, increasingly deeper fellowship with God and with all those who love God, stronger, more stamina with passing time, increasing in wisdom. There's so much that we can look forward to. Let us now, as we prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper, ask the Lord to help us to see clearly His intentions for us, His assurances to us in the Scriptures, and how we can live each day with proper optimism. Each morning as we open our eyes, to rejoice that we are God's children, and we can live each day with meaning, with purpose, with a positive sense of direction, together with God and all those who love God. So as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, let us reflect on all that God has done and provided for us, and His intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us reflect on what Christ has gone through at the cross, what He has accomplished at the cross, and what it means to be joined to the risen Christ. How we can learn and grow well at a personal level and together with God's people. Let us ask the Lord to search our hearts Are there any things in our lives that hinder God's working in our lives? Because together with that, you will also hinder spiritual insight, and you will hinder our rising up to God's high calling. Let's ask the Lord to search our hearts, and anything that needs to be put right, let us put it right, put them right. And ask the Lord to help us to know what it means to align our hearts with what He has revealed. Consecration to the Lord, commitment to His will and His purposes. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, we worship you, the great and good God, the God of perfect wisdom and almighty power. We thank you for your steadfast love toward us. Thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for what you have recorded in the scriptures that reveal all these deep truths to us. We pray that your Spirit of God will continue to have the freedom to grant us insight into the truth, and that you will help us to know what it means to consecrate our lives to you, to submit to you, and to live our lives according to your will as revealed in the scriptures. That more and more we may be able to enter into your kind intentions toward us in Christ. Not only in our personal lives, but also together with all those who love you. We pray that you help each one of us to respond well to you, and also how you desire us to work out together in church life. And so even now we thank you for the Lord's Supper we can partake together, that you prepare our hearts that we not partake in an unworthy manner, that you help us to put right our lives, whatever that needs to be put right, that you wash away our sins, that you strengthen us to be true to you. For all this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.